Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. At the tone, please record your message.
Hey, mate. Just checking in, making sure you haven't hurt yourself yet. Remember, it can only come up from here. I know everyone's going to be angry that a 38-year-old stopped Nick Larky for three quarters, but it's going to be okay. I promise. Love you, bro. I'll talk to you soon.
A message from Big Ant after the game last Sunday. Thank you for those kind words, Big Ant. I know all the fans are dying for you to get back on the podcast. Hopefully for everyone who's a North fan out there listening to this, you can pretend Big Ant was leaving that voice message for you as well. So if that doesn't comfort you and make you feel warm and fuzzy inside, I don't know what will. Thank you to Big Ant. I'm sure he'll be back soon upon request from you guys. But we don't want to get him on anytime soon because I don't want to get his ego up after last week's atrocity. So, preview pod today, guys. All the normal stuff. I haven't looked at the lineup yet. I'm going to react to the lineup. I haven't seen. I'm sure there's going to be some pretty shocking ins and outs. Clarko's back this week. So is he going to make a big cull? Is he going to cut the fat? Probably not. Anyway, we're going to get into all that. I'm going to tell you who I want in and out. Then I'll react to it. We'll have a look at under the microscope and all those sort of things. But yeah, big one. Some news going on, though. Some news going on. I didn't get to talk about this last week. I was too depressed. But Jack Siebel did retire. What do I think of Jack Siebel? I think he's the last guy in the club that really epitomizes Shinboner spirit. I think he's the last one that puts his body on the line, that really puts his body on the line. And I'm very worried now that he is going to be going. I have been an advocate for Siebel having a good season. I don't think he's been anywhere near as bad as everybody suggests. And I think his leadership alone keeps him in this team with so many passengers in our 22. So we're going to really, really miss his on-field leadership. The way he puts his body on the line, isn't afraid to back into a contest, and genuinely loves this club. And there's not many people like that in these four walls at the moment. So devastating news. I would have loved him to stay on. I was an advocate for a one-year deal for him, and I reckon that was still probably the right decision. But hey, I'm not on the board. I don't make these decisions. I'm sure you guys are very happy about that too. But what a warrior. I guess my favorite Siebel memory would probably be kicking the goal against the Bulldogs to win us the game. Some big performances in the prelim final runs and that sort of stuff as well. But I don't know, that goal sticks into my mind. A more recent Siebel memory, I guess, was didn't he kick five against the Swans last season? And we nearly beat the Swans, I think. I'm pretty sure he did. Was that last season? He did it sometime against the Swans. But yeah, what a warrior. Maybe not the A grader that we maybe needed, but he made up for that with heart, passion, and there's not many players in the league that will put their body on the line like him anymore. So brilliant career. One of our best captains for sure, and will be very, very missed. Some other news. Clarkson is back coaching this week. The club's been showing all the photos of him smiling and making us forget about his bad time he's been having. Is it the spark we need this week? I'm not too sure, but I am glad to have him back. I think this is the coach we need so desperately and the continuity we need so desperately. I'm pretty confident in saying our list is better than two wins, and if he was there the whole season, I reckon we win a game like the Bombers, the Swans, the Saints a few weeks ago. We get over the line. But once again, four seasons of coaching just chaos, basically, and I'd say that's the main cause for us having the woes that we do right now. But I'm glad he's back. Do we get the new coach bounce down in Tassie this week? Yet to be seen. Yet to be seen. Imagine we lose to West Coast and then beat the D's. That would be, I don't think I'd even be happy. I'd just be so angry because you couldn't even win the last one. But hey, a win's a win. Clarkson's back. One thing I wanted to talk about with the Clarkson thing is some of the media articles that have been going around are disgusting. And the media I've talked about this a lot. This is my big rant. You guys know I always go on. But they're just actual parasites, aren't they? Cockroaches. I think being in the football media is more scummy than being one of those really dodgy real estate agents. Because a lot of the articles I've been seeing, we all saw or read the statement that Clarko put out for the fans and members on the website. And the media have liked to pick one word in particular out of that to put in all of the headlines in the articles. Now, the way Clarkson described it, he described his time away many different ways, but one of the words he used, or phrases he said, was it was a little bit embarrassing having to step away. He described it as many other things. But the media took the word embarrassing and all the headlines were Clarkson embarrassed by absence from football. And I just hate it so much. I hate it so much. They took it so out of context because I'm pretty sure the next line was something like, but I now know that's not something to be embarrassed about. And it's just scummy. It doesn't get worse than that. The slimy parasites. I would genuinely love to have a debate with some of these people about it, just with how disgusting of human beings they can be. The media is the number one reason why Clarkson needed to take time off. Not because of the case, but the reason his mental health would have been down the bin would have been because he goes to the petrol station, doesn't get served, gets heckled in the street, probably getting heaps of messages from people that just consume what the media put out and have everything completely wrong. Completely wrong. And they're the main cause for his mental health downfall. But there's no responsibility, no repercussion for any of them. And they should absolutely be ashamed from the way that they've treated him and for all of the awful clickbait articles that they put out. I can't remember exactly how long ago it was, but I remember Damo or Lloydie or someone refuted the whole we use clickbait headlines and things thing. And it's just, are they even so stupid to not think, to not even know that they're doing that? Anyway, this rant's going to stop now, but this is why a lot of you listeners here are the best sort of fans, because everyone's moving away from traditional media because we know it's biased. The facts aren't right and it's swayed in a certain direction to fit a narrative. But more and more people are turning off the mainstream news. They're coming to podcasts. They're finding their own ways to get information. And I don't know, they're sort of slowly breaking that industry. Think about Channel 10 with The Project. That was just a rubbish show with rubbish hosts. And I think it's basically done. And that's great because they're just pushing an agenda. So thank you for listening to this and getting all your North info here. Not that I'm the most informed person ever, but it's more opinion-based and, you know, we'll always push against anything Caro or Kane Corn say because there may be validity to some of the things that they say, but it's drizzled and or soaked in negativity and coming from a place of spite and a place of hatred for the club. So anyway, that rant over. The last bit of news I'm going to talk about is Tarryn Thomas. Now, Tarryn Thomas through the week after the loss to the Eagles unfollowed the club on social media. Now, that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. Someone in their early 20s knows exactly what that means. No one accidentally unfollows, just like he accidentally posted the photo or the video of him driving with his feet up on the thing. And I've been a Tarryn supporter. Don't excuse anything he's allegedly done or got convicted of doing, but I'm a supporter of giving people other chances and giving people the right platform and the right environment to grow as a person and be better. And that's what I thought he was doing. Unfollowing the club on social media suggests to me his head's not in it and he wants to leave. I think that's a pretty fair judgment of the situation. I went onto Tarryn's Instagram. Yes, he's unfollowed the club. He has. Now, if he wants to leave, get him out of this club as soon as humanly possible. Because after the club stood by him, sorted out his plans to come back any step by step to getting back to AFL football, standing by him, supporting him through all of his problems that he's caused, and then he treats us like this. I know it's only an unfollow, but it does mean more than just unfollowing the club. It does. You don't unfollow the club you play for unless you're trying to send a message. It's happened in the NBA. It's happened in the EPL, every other sport, and it always suggests something pretty strong. So I hope he goes. If this is the case, I don't want him here if he's going to be like that. I've always been a Tarryn supporter. He's so talented and I want him to be part of this team. But if this is the stuff he's going to pull after all of his awful off-field activity and our support as a club and a fan base, then just get out, mate. Because you're going to start getting booed at games and I'll be one of them. If you're going to unfollow our club in the hardest period, you're someone that can lift us up. You're someone that can help us get back to where we're meant to be. We're the team that drafted you. We're the team that stood by you. And if this is the case, you're unfollowing to send a message, which, let's be honest, it probably is, then that's not good enough. And hopefully he's off the list or traded in the offseason. He can go and rot on another club because, yeah, that's pretty low. That's pretty low. Yes, maybe I'm hurt from the week it's been. The banter's been real from every other fan in the league. And but, hey, it's a sensitive time and clearly he doesn't have his head screwed on, even though we all gave him another chance and we've supported him as a fan base and a club. So very poor from Tarryn. And in that case, the ins and outs that I would like to see. So in, I would be bringing Bergman, Greenwood and Powell. And out would be Young, Tarryn Thomas and Kane Turner. Now let me explain some of these. Miller Bergman, every week the same for me. Baffled that this man's not in the team. I don't know. I'm assuming he's not injured. Did he play in the VFL? I'm assuming he did. He did. So, yeah, I don't know why this guy's not in the team. Too much talent to not be playing at AFL level. Let him play himself back into form like we did Paul Curtis. Yeah, crazy he's not in the team. Hugh Greenwood, exactly. You guys know. Like, we don't even have to talk about this. Hugh Greenwood should be a walk-up starter over some of the spuds that we've got in this team. And Tom Powell, let's bring Tom Powell back. Maybe gives us a different dynamic in the midfield if we are lacking like we did on the weekend. Bring him back. He's good. He's good. Out, Lockie Young, not good enough. Bad on the weekend. Can't tag someone. Was playing in, like, the back pocket. He's not big enough, not strong enough. Didn't give us any run off half back, was trying to tag, weak in a contest in the air. I don't know. Just don't. Goda and Bergman and Sheasel, you know, Jackson Archer, you know, all of those guys I would be putting ahead of him at the moment. Yeah, just didn't do it for me. Kane Turner, it's Kane Turner. Look, his two smothers and his one goal were great, but he was anonymous the rest of the game. Doesn't need to be there. And Tarryn Thomas, if him unfollowing the club on social media is because he's unsettled or doesn't want to be there, then I hope Clarkson comes in and swings that axe and drops him. He doesn't play again. So that dropping is only on the condition that that is what's going on. If Tarryn Thomas plays this week, I would love a bit of an explanation around it. We won't be getting it, I'm sure, but yeah, I'd be dropping Tarryn Thomas. Not because of form, because we need a player like that, but you can't be having guys with that sort of attitude at the club, if it is true. So that would be my ins and outs. Now, let's react to the team. Let me just go on the gram and see if I can find this, guys. Give me 2 seconds. Here we go. All right. Okay. So in, Cunnington, Powell and Lazaro. No outs. Oh, interesting. What has Hugh Greenwood done? What has Hugh Greenwood done? If I was Hugh Greenwood, seeing Young, Turner, Lazaro, I know it was his first game, but like Hanson Jr., Tom Powell even. I like Tom Powell, but what's going on? I would have thought Clarkson would have come in and, you know, swung the axe a little bit and been like, you're not good enough. That's sort of disappointing to see, to be honest. Cunnington in is an interesting one. Maybe trying to do something different in the midfield. I'd be happy to see Cunnington back. We've got nothing to play for. We're not going to win any more games for the rest of the year, so you may as well. Hugh Greenwood, man. But Miller Bergman as well. I just don't understand. Am I crazy, guys? Am I honestly crazy? Like, how is Lockie Young or Kane Turner especially, or Charlie Lazaro, playing ahead of Miller Bergman and Hugh Greenwood. It's just wild. I'd love to be able to have like a fan press conference and they actually answer some of these questions. Anyway, that's really disappointing. I thought there'd be more changes this week with Clarkson back in. I'm actually kind of disappointed with that. Great. Well, North letting me down again and again and again. Under the microscope this week, let's get into that. I feel like that was really flat. You know, I feel like I wanted to talk a little bit more about the team, but there's no outs. I mean, Cunnington's interesting. You know what I mean? Like, they're probably just giving him a few games at the end of the year to see him off. But yeah, that's so disappointing. Tom Powell, I mean, cool. See Tom Powell in. I did say I wanted him in. Lazaro isn't going to make it at AFL level. Seems like the best bloke and a dominant VFL player, but it doesn't excite me. So, well, I wanted more content from that section, guys. I'm sorry. Anyway, under the microscope this week, Will Phillips and Jane Stevenson for me. There's actually three, but different reasons. So the two that I think need to step up and I'm putting under the microscope are Will Phillips and Jane Stevenson. Never questioning Steve-O's work rate. He does work very hard. He's pushing down a halfback. His pressure in the forward line was good. We didn't lay anywhere near enough tackles in the forward line, but he's always at least forcing a kick to go away. But his first half of the season was great. He's been pretty poor since the bye finished, so we need a response from him. Will Phillips, I think, last week was pretty lackluster as well. We've seen what he can do. He needs to grow into it a little bit more, but yeah, our midfield was very one-dimensional last week and he needed to make a bigger impact and he didn't. So I'd like Will Phillips to get back to his best in that midfield with a midfield of like LDU, Will Phillips, and you could throw a Taron Thomas or someone like that in there, even though I think he should be dropped. Paul Curtis is another one under the microscope this week. I want him to back up that performance. I need him to back that up because that was a great game from him individually last week. He did everything he could, but you need to back it up after the season you've had. So I'd like to see Curtis come out, at least kick a couple, be a good presence in the forward line, and just cause some havoc down there, to be honest, even though the D's have a great defense. The D's are coming off some decent form. I'll try and find out here how many they've won in a row, but who did they have last week? Let's have a look. They had, yes, a 32-point win over the Tigers. So, look, they're in decent form. I don't think we're a chance at winning this game whatsoever, but I think it's all about effort. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me this week if we get absolutely slaughtered again by the D's, and not because they're that good. But I reckon it's time for Clarkson to change something and let's work on this game plan properly, because we need to change something, especially in our defense, and throw the magnets around, you know. Sheezer should be playing forward more. I think he was – look how dynamic he was when he went in the forward line. He nearly won us the game in the fourth quarter. Get Goethe to do it. If Lachie Young's going to be in this team, then get him to run off halfback. Get Goethe to do it. Aiden Corr apparently is the greatest player on earth right now. I'm talking to you, Marnie. I know you're listening. I'm not going to unveil what Marnie said to me midweek about Aiden Corr, but I wasn't very happy about it. Yeah, let's throw the magnets around, get some players in different positions and just try something. Please, please. Should I tip this week? My tips are always so bad. Bulldogs, Richmond. I'll tip the Bulldogs. But it wouldn't surprise me if it goes either way. West Coast, Essendon. I mean, Essendon will destroy them. Just like they'll destroy us in the next round or two. Adelaide and the Gold Coast Suns, I think Adelaide, it's in Adelaide. So, yep, Adelaide win that for sure. Hawthorn, Collingwood. Collingwood will bounce back. They're not losing two on the bounce. Geelong, Port Adelaide. I'm picking the Cats. I'm picking the Cats this week down at, I was going to say Skilled Stadium. It's not called that anymore. GMHBA. Stadium. What an awful name for a stadium. And they're favourites too. But yep, I think the Cats will win. I hope the Lions win this week. Who have they got? They got Freo, so the Lions could actually go ahead of Port this week on percentage. If Port lose and the Lions win, which means we get the 16th pick in the draft instead of 17, which is pretty crazy. Who else we... Oh, I got the hiccup. Sorry, guys. Oh, Battle of the Bridge. This is the one we want. I'm going to tip the Swans in this one. I'm just not a Giants believer. I know they've won like 100 in a row, apparently, the media is saying, but I'm going to tip the Swans. I'm going to tip the Swans. That's just a gut feeling. Saints, Blues. Oh, I'm gonna tip the Saints. I'm going to tip the Saints. Mainly because I want the Blues fans to quiet down. I've gone from loving the Blues, or not loving them, but like liking the Blues and wanting them to do well, to letting their fans be so obnoxious after winning a couple of games that I never want to see them win again. And the Lions and the Dockers, it is at Optus Stadium, but I'll tip the Lions because I need them to go ahead of Port just so they drop a little bit, which would be fantastic. So they're my tips for the week, guys. Make sure you follow all of my tips because they're always 100% accurate, never any of the time. Other than that, the obscure player of the week, I did forget to ask you guys to comment your favorite memories, but I put Ed Lauer up there, the Big Brother star Ed Lauer. One of the signatures I got on my first ever North Melbourne Guernsey was Ed Lauer. And not till later in my life did I realize I waited in line to get signatures from Ben Spate, Matt Campbell and Ed Lauer. And later in my life, I realized they just rolled out the scrubs at the end of the bench. There was no way they were sending Harvey or Drew Petrie or Glenn Archer out there. Matt Campbell, actually, I loved Matt Campbell. Matt Campbell was great. I can't believe he didn't last longer than he did. The Flash, or just Flash, I think it was. But oh, I loved watching him play. I need more Matt Campbell highlights. I need a message North Melbourne Vintage, I think they're called on Instagram, and get some Matt Campbell highlights. I wonder if they have put Matt Campbell. I think they did put Matt Campbell highlights. If you guys don't know this page, I'm very slow at replying to everyone who's messaged me on Instagram and Facebook. So I do apologize. I've got my personal Instagrams and Facebooks and things, and I'm always like, I should definitely reply to everybody, but I'll get back to you all eventually. I'm sorry. Vintage North Melbourne merch /clips on Instagram puts up some brilliant North, old school North content. So get over there for all your Matt Campbell highlights, guys. Even though, you know what? It's Nostalgic Player of the Week. If you are listening, whoever admins that page, who we've talked a couple of times, please, I need some Ed Lauer highlights. I need to see Ed Lauer highlights and not Big Brother highlights, actual football highlights. Thank you very much. All right, guys, I think that's about it. Look, dire times, rock bottom. There's nothing to hope for or live for anymore. I will say the one thing I am excited for is there were rumors going around that Clarkson has been recruiting and already working on next season for the last month. I'm so excited for this offseason because I want big, big changes. I want list cullings. I want careers to be done. I want delistings. I want harsh delistings too. So I need a lot of new recruits in, and not a lot of new draft picks, and we need like 10 new players coming into this club, I reckon, and solid AFL players, and start building a foundation. We've got the icing, I think. We just don't have the cake. So I'm excited for that. Not excited for the rest of the year, but hey, we'll still be here giving you all the North updates. Thank you for listening once again, guys. I'm trying to bring the positivity, but I had a bad week. North have broken my heart, but you guys show up every week, so I am very, very appreciative of that. Follow the Facebooks, follow the Instagrams, you know, all that sort of stuff. You guys know, I don't need to tell you that. 5-star reviews always help on Apple and Spotify and that sort of stuff as well. So for the people who have done that, thank you so much. I think North lose by 60 points this week, I think. But I hope they put in a bit of fight, and I hope to see a different style or game plan or something now Clarkson's back. But I'm glad Clarko's back. Screw Taron Thomas. I hate supporting this club, but I love them so much. All right, Roos fans, I'm out. Talk to you on Monday or Tuesday, depending on when I can be bothered recording the podcast. I'm awful. See you guys.